Welcome to the Ohio Christian Alliance Town Hall with OCA President Chris Long. The Ohio Christian Alliance is a voter education public policy organization that provides educational voter guides, legislative scorecards, and hosts public policy and candidate forums throughout the state of Ohio. Now, here's the host of today's program, Ohio Christian Alliance President Chris Long.
Welcome to today's broadcast of the Town Hall meeting of the Ohio Christian Alliance. This week of special programs, I hope that you're enjoying as we've hosted Bill Fetter, Treasurer of State Josh Mandel, and today on the phone we have Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council in Washington, and Dr. Prentice has helped us over the years to fight the expansion of embryonic stem cell research and human cloning here in Ohio, as we have introduced legislation over the years to ban human cloning and recently animal-human hybrid. And currently, the bill before the Ohio legislature is Senate Bill 94, sponsored by State Senator Chris Jordan and of the 19th Senate District. And we're pleased that Senator Jordan has agreed to introduce this legislation that would ban human cloning in Ohio and animal-human hybrid. Dr. Prentice, welcome to today's broadcast.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you for taking time to be with us today. And, of course, you'll be coming in to give expert witness on this legislation, Senate Bill 94. In last session, this was Senate Bill 243, and that was State Senator Steve Buehrer at that time who introduced it for us. And, of course, you came in, gave testimony. What passed out of committee last session was a ban on animal-human hybrid, which also passed the Ohio Senate. But, unfortunately, it languished between the two chambers as the then Speaker of the House, Representative Armin Budish, did not take it up for even committee hearings in the Ohio House. But, of course, we had an election in November that changed the fortunes here in Ohio, and a lot of pro-life, pro-family legislators were elected into office, and now the new Speaker of the House is Speaker Bill Batchelder, who has also supported this legislation, and it's introduced in both the House and in the Senate, in both chambers, and we should have hearings underway later this spring, and so we're thrilled.
This ought to be a great time to put this bill through, Chris, and let's talk for a minute about what is really going on with the bill. You mentioned embryonic stem cells, you mentioned human cloning, you mentioned these human-animal hybrids, a lot of sort of science-y topics that some of your listeners, their eyes are already starting to glaze over. So let's come back and talk about what are we really talking about and what is the aim of this legislation by Senator Jordan. Stem cells. There are embryonic stem cells that come from the destruction of young human embryos, young human beings that are literally broken apart to put their cells into a lab dish to do experiments. They have worked with embryonic stem cells first with mice starting in 1981 and then with human embryonic, and at this point have not helped a single human being. As far as we know, in fact, there is only one patient who has ever been injected with embryonic stem cells. The problems are manifold with embryonic. Number one, there's this little ethical problem that you have to destroy a young human life to get these cells, whether they will ever help anyone or not. Practically, what they have noticed over the years and still don't have an answer for is that embryonic stem cells like to grow. And so when they put them into the little lab rats, they tend to get tumors rather than actually repairing any sort of tissue damage. Now, before we get away from stem cells, let's talk about adult stem cells. And babies are born with adult stem cells in their tissues and organs. They're in umbilical cord, blood, and placenta, of course, in our bone marrow, and lots of tissues. Over the years, we have learned more and more about these adult stem cells, that you can actually get them out of the body. You can grow them. You can put them back. And they are already successfully treating thousands of patients every year for dozens of different diseases. A lot of the use in the past for bone marrow or stem cell transplants has been for cancers or anemias, but now we're finding that they can successfully repair damage in patients from juvenile diabetes, from spinal cord injury, heart damage, and dozens of diseases.
So to make the distinction, embryonic stem cell research obviously determines that they create and destroy a human embryo for experimentation, where adult stem cells are utilized from our own cells in our own body. It's a more ethical way to approach scientific treatment for patients.
Exactly so. Embryonic stem cells, you have to destroy a young human being, and there are significant practical problems with ever getting them to work, whereas adult stem cells, you don't have to harm the donor, and they are working for thousands of people every year.
Well, and Doctor, thank you for the work that you do really around the country. When we first started working on this here in Ohio was back in 2003 with then Representative Linda Reitelbach, who was our sponsor. At that time, we were banning expansion of embryonic stem cell research on the grounds, as a Christian organization that's pro-life and pro-family, that our state tax dollars would be used at these research facilities around the state of Ohio, and to conduct experimentation that we find to be immoral. We believe that all human life is sacred and is deserving of protection under the law, including nascent human life. And so we believe that life begins at conception. The concept of creating and manipulating an experimentation on a human embryo, you know, really is immoral from those who are pro-life. And it's a position that we've held, and we've fought this battle since 2003. And thanks to you for coming in each year and giving expert testimony. It's helped us to move it forward.
Glad to help out, Chris. And you know, that kind of brings us to this year and Senator Jordan's bill, which aims to prohibit human cloning for any purpose or making what we've termed animal-human hybrids. And again, this starts to sound like really science fiction.
Well, and we're going to pick it up right there after the break. Well, and thank you, Dr. Perez. We're going to pick it up right after the break. We're going to take a break here for a moment, and we'll be right back with Dr. David Prentice from the Family Research Council. Don't go away.
The Ohio Christian Alliance special with Chris Long is being brought to you in part by Attorney Ron Kohler. For over 24 years, Attorney Ron Kohler has provided estate planning and estate administration services in the Akron-Canton area. The estate planning services Attorney Ron Kohler offers include preparation of wills, living trust, financial powers of attorney, and living wills. Has your estate plan been completed, or is it something you've been putting off? Estate planning isn't as painful or as expensive as you may think. Call Attorney Ron Kohler for estate planning services at 330-644-3572. Attorney Ron Kohler can assist you with the administration of an estate or guardianship. Attorney Ron Kohler has evening hours available for your convenience, and his office is conveniently located on Manchester Road in Coventry Township, just south of Akron. That's Attorney Ron Kohler. Caller 330-644-3572. 330-644-3572.
You're listening to the Ohio Christian Alliance Town Hall Meeting. I'm your host, Chris Long. I'm the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. I want to take a moment to tell you about the upcoming Spring Freedom Banquet to be held at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton at 7 p.m. May 13th. You can register online at ohioca.org or phone 330-887-1922. Our keynote speaker is Bill Fetter from the American Minute. Also joining us that night will be State Treasurer Josh Mandel, and Speaker of the House, Mr. Bill Batchelder, will also be addressing our membership. We hope you can come out as well. There will be a meet and greet at 6:30 that night before the dinner, and at 7 p.m. will be the dinner, and we hope that you can join us. With me on the phone right now is Dr. David Prentice from the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., who will be coming to Ohio later this spring to give expert testimony on Senate Bill 94, which is a ban on human cloning and a ban on animal-human hybrid here in the state of Ohio. Doctor, welcome back to the town hall.
Thank you, Chris. It sounds like science fiction, but it isn't.
Well, we left off just before the break in talking about just how crazy really this is, and especially when we consider animal-human hybrid. Explain that to our listeners.
I'm glad to. Let's do cloning first, because that's sort of the next step. We mentioned stem cells, embryonic and adult types. embryonic, as we said, you start with an embryo. Well, cloning is a technique to get or create embryos, but not using the old-fashioned egg and sperm combination. It's the way they got Dolly the cloned sheep and all the cloned cats and rats and dogs you read about from time to time. You take an egg and you take out its DNA or chromosomes, and then you would transfer, let's say, the DNA, the chromosomes, from one of my skin cells. The technical term is somatic cell nuclear transfer. Now, you need to remember that term, unfortunately, because a lot of times the folks who want to do this type of cloning won't say cloning. They'll say, I'm going to do somatic cell nuclear transfer to get stem cells and cures. Well, what they're really doing is making a clone, making a new embryo by this transferring the nucleus, transferring the chromosomes into that egg, growing an embryo, and then they would either put the embryo in the womb for a born clone, if that's what they're after, or they would tear apart that embryo to put the cells in the dish for experiments. But the cloning process doesn't make stem cells. It makes an embryo. It's a different way to make an embryo than we're used to. There's no sperm involved. There's an egg that has its chromosomes removed and then a skin cell or some other cell. But you get an embryo. You create a new life. You start it growing, and then you use it for experiments.
Well, and Doctor, what we've heard in argument over the years from some of the scientific, the labs and the scientists who work in these labs are saying, well, we object or we would agree to banning reproductive cloning. But, you know, it's a interesting turn on words here when they'll say, well, we want to ban reproductive cloning, but we're making a statement that the somatic cell nuclear transfer or the cloning of embryos is also immoral.
Exactly right. I mean, that's how you have to start this whole process. You're not going to spontaneously make a born clone, just like you're not going to spontaneously make a liver or a heart in the lab dish. You make a young human being, and you grow it for a while, and then it's the same embryo, whether you try to gestate it to birth or whether you rip it apart for experiments. And we would believe that you should not be creating and destroying a young human life by whatever process, but certainly not this science fiction type of process to get embryonic stem cells. And the animal-human hybrid aspect is simply another step on beyond this cloning process. One of the problems with cloning is you have to have lots of women's eggs. And so some people have said, well, we'll use rabbit eggs or cow eggs or pig eggs, and we'll combine that with human DNA to make these animal-human hybrids. Or we'll do other sorts of combinations of cell parts, or even something like growing whole human brains in animals, or growing human sperm or human eggs in animals. All of these sorts of combinations, but especially where you recombine the parts to make a human embryo that now is less than human, we also don't think is an ethical scientific process, and also one that should not be done in terms of just interesting science. It's just not an ethical way to proceed in terms of medical research.
And yet, by their own admission, in interested party meetings that we've held at the Ohio State House, they have declared that science is moving away from the need of destroying human embryos for research. Given the advancements on adult stem cell lines and iPS lines. iPS lines, Doctor, explain that to us.
Right. You might think of it as an intermediate type of stem cell. You can take a skin cell and add a few genes and reprogram that skin cell, almost like reprogramming a computer to run a different type of program. Now, instead of running the skin cell program, it runs the embryonic stem cell program. That skin cell starts to look and act like that embryonic stem cell that many are interested in, but there are no embryos involved. There are no eggs. There's none of this cloning process.
And
what they're finding is you can make those iPS cells, those induced stem cells, easier, cheaper, and even directly from people with diseases so you can study the disease in the dish.
So even by their own admission, the advancements are along ethical lines of medical research with adult stem cells, iPS lines, and yet they still want to keep the embryonic stem cell research and or somatic cell nuclear transfer, human cloning, in their toolbox, per se. And yet we're saying we object to that upon moral grounds, and we've injected the moral argument into this, and that they should use their research dollars for more ethical lines, which has had proven benefit, rather than embryonic that has shown nothing.
Exactly. I mean, we keep coming back to, for the embryonic stem cells, you have to get an embryo first and destroy it. To do the cloning process, you create an embryo, and then you can do whatever you want with it, whether it's destroy it for embryonic stem cells or gestate it for live birth. And we're saying you don't need to do that. It's not ethical to do that. There are better ways, and there are ways such as adult stem cells that are helping patients. Let's focus on the patients and what's really going to help them.
That's right. And with me on the phone is Dr. David Prentice, and we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away. You're listening to the Ohio Christian Alliance Town Hall with Dr. David Prentice.
The Ohio Christian Alliance special with Chris Long is being brought to you in part by attorney Ron Kohler. For over 24 years, attorney Ron Kohler has provided estate planning and estate administration services in the Akron-Canton area. The estate planning services attorney Ron Kohler offers include preparation of wills, living trust, financial powers of attorney, and living wills. Has your estate plan been completed, or is it something you've been putting off? Estate planning isn't as painful or as expensive as you may think. Call attorney Ron Kohler for estate planning services at 330-644-3572. Attorney Ron Kohler can assist you with the administration of an estate or guardianship. Attorney Ron Kohler has evening hours available for your convenience, and his office is conveniently located on Manchester Road in Coventry Township, just south of Akron. That's attorney Ron Kohler. Caller 330-644-3572. 330-644-3572.
Welcome back. I'm Chris Long, your host of the Ohio Christian Alliance Town Hall, and with me on the phone is Dr. David Prentice from the Family Research Council in Washington, and he'll be coming to Ohio later this spring to give expert testimony on Senate Bill 94, a ban on human cloning and a ban on animal-human hybrid. The Ohio Christian Alliance has asked State Senator Chris Jordan and other state sponsors in the Ohio Senate to support this legislation and to move it forward to restrict our tax dollars being used against that which we find to be morally objectionable, and that is the destruction of nascent human life through somatic cell nuclear transfer, human cloning, and of course animal-human hybrid. Doctor, let's talk a minute about animal-human hybrid. We've heard in recent years in England, which many now in the international community consider to be a rogue medical state, where they have used animal and human DNA together in experimentation. Expound upon that for us.
And, you know, as we were discussing before, this idea of combining human DNA with animal eggs or vice versa, all sorts of different combinations, especially to create an embryo that is obviously less than human because you've used some animal components, some human components. The same sorts of things were trotted out by scientists who wanted to do this in the UK, that they would come up with all of these wonderful medical cures. It was the only way that they could do this. They wanted to do cloning. They wanted to do other sorts of things, but they needed to do these animal-human hybrids. Well, they convinced people with these emotional arguments that they would come up with wonderful discoveries and cures, and then found out they had some really problems, really big problems. They were able to push this through so that the British Parliament approved it, and then found out that they couldn't get it funded because it really was not considered a viable ethical science to do. The hybrid embryos that they made were faulty. All of the promises that they had made for cures didn't pan out.
Well, exactly. And, of course, the concern we have here is this type of experimentation taking place in U.S. laboratories? And, of course, there was an article that was released about a year and a half ago now where some U.S. laboratories admittedly conducted some animal-human hybrid. This is what's raised the alarm here in the United States.
Yes, and let's be clear, we're not talking about the other side may say, oh, pig heart valves, people have been transplanted with that, or baboon hearts into little kids. We're not talking about these sorts of things. We're not talking about combining, you know, like a transplant from one person to another person. We're talking about creating embryos, young lives, but that are combinations, less than human. And there is a real concern that certainly some people in the U.S. want to do this. It's interesting that other countries, some of the other countries other than the U.K., have actually totally outlawed this on a federal level, so that Australia, for example, or Canada, and a number of other countries have said, this is just unethical, it is not the way we want to go, and it's actually wasteful of precious research dollars to be doing those kinds of experiments instead of ones that can more quickly help patients.
And legislation like this is needed to give guidance and to speak into the scientific community as to what is permitted and what's not permitted by the general public. And it's an important ethical voice. And as we sat in these interested party meetings, and, you know, the public may think, well, who's the who's governing these research facilities? Well, really, outside of the National Institutes of Health, no one's really speaking into, you know, a researcher's work as to what guidelines to follow, just because a thing can be done, should it be done. And of course, we want to support our tremendous research facilities that we have here in the state of Ohio, Case Western Reserve, Ohio State University, Cincinnati Children's, and others who have weighed in on this discussion with us and at times have posed us. And we're hoping that this time we'll be able to garner their support in moving this legislation forward.
Yeah, the idea here is not to say there are a whole list of things that we don't think you should do, and there are certain experiments, and you have to be governed by, you know, exactly these things we want. We want research to go on in Ohio and around the U.S., and we want good research that is going to bring help and hope to suffering patients. What we're saying is this is a channel. Let's get away from some of these unproductive and unethical aspects and just say, look, there are boundaries. We already operate science under many boundaries in terms of how we treat patients, how you treat animals that you do experiments with. Here is simply another very smart boundary to try and channel research into ethical and productive lines.
And if our listeners want to contact you, doctor, we just got about a moment here in the program. Stemcellresearch.org is one website they can go to learn more about this subject. What other areas can they pursue?
Let me give you two more real quick. Stemcellresearchfacts.org.
Okay, we've run out of time. Just give us the website.
FRC.org.
FRC.org. Doctor, thank you so much. We'll have you back. Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council was our guest today. You're listening to The Town Hall with the Ohio Christian Alliance. I'm your host, Chris Long, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Ohio Christian Alliance Town Hall with OCA President Chris Long. The Ohio Christian Alliance is a voter education public policy organization that provides educational voter guides, legislative scorecards, and hosts public policy and candidate forums throughout the state of Ohio. To learn more, visit them online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. This program has been sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance.